Well, today we're going to do something a little different in looking at what's called the Sermon on the Plain. Some of you may have heard of what's called the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount is three chapters in Matthew where it's described how Jesus was on a hillside or a mountainside and speaking to all the people, and quite a long discourse. Luke has his own version of that, and that's called the Sermon on the Plain. Why the Sermon on the Plain? Well, because it's on a flat area, it says. And he's focusing just on his immediate followers, not to the big crowds, just to his immediate followers. And it's much shorter, so it kind of fits in well with four Sundays in February. We'll have a series of four for that as well. Okay, two questions are going to be showing up a lot this morning. First question, I've already been asked this, I think, three times this morning. How are you? Some of you that are just going through a low time might say, fair, not so good. Or I remember when my youngest sister lived in Southern California. If you ask her how she's doing, get ready, because she got into this Southern California hype. I'm great, I'm super, it's wonderful, all these superlatives. Just calm down, Leah. All right, so how are you? My standard response, typical male, one syllable, fine, good, yeah, okay. That's my typical response. All right, how are you? First question. Second question, how are you really? I'll do that once in a while when I feel it's appropriate. You give your standard response, that it's just a connector question, I realize that, how are you? But to go beyond just connecting, let's talk about what your life is really like. How are you really? So those are the two questions we have before us. All right. Jesus' answer to that question, you could give your answer in one of two words: blessed or blessed, or woe. Blessed, it's great, life is wonderful, you have a bright future, life is good. Woeful, life isn't so good, it's terrible, not much of a future. What makes one blessed, wonderful? What makes the other one woeful and terrible? We're going to be looking at this. All right. Now, if you have your Bible open to Luke chapter 6, verses 20 through 26, you can either have your Bible open, physical Bible, or on your app. Most Bible translations have this in stylistic form. And you'll notice there's four blessed, 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 and then four woes that correspond exactly to that. First blessed corresponds directly for the first woe. And so what I did was, and it shows up in the outline, is we'll do both of those together. First blessed, first woe together, second, etc. Okay? I hope that was clear with that. Okay, so what Jesus is doing is saying, okay, what we need to do is go beyond how are you, where you just give a small picture answer. You need to give the big picture answer, how are you really? Let me demonstrate it this way. If we could go to the next slide here. And those look like a bunch of light bulbs to me, but do you know what those actually are? Do you know what this actually is? What's that? Ooh, close one, good idea. Okay. This is a close-up of something. When I was young, we had what was called the Weekly Reader. I just loved that. And this is one of my favorite parts. They give a real close-up and you try to guess what it really is if you get the big picture. What's the big picture? Next one. It's a housefly, the eye of the housefly, yeah? That's what we were looking at. all these little receptors of light. That was the housefly eye that we were looking at. But Jesus is saying, if you give the answer, how are you, you can give a very narrow, small answer if you're looking at just a small part. What you need is the big picture. How are you, really? Okay, that's what we're going to get into this morning. All right, first group that Jesus addresses is something illustrated here in the next slide. And this was in Skopje, Macedonia, the capital of Macedonia. Barb and I were there in 2017 to visit a friend of mine. And we were walking down the street, and I said to Ilya, what's that boy, little boy doing there? By the way, there's another one way in the back up there, too. He was drumming on his little drum and singing once in a while. He was begging. Never went to school. Can't go to school. He has to beg full time. He's dealing with the poor. Jesus is addressing the poor. Where you wonder, are you going to be able to survive? In the original for this word poor, it's the poorest of the poor, extreme poverty. How are you? If you were to ask that boy and you were to give the answer, not so good. I can't play with my friends. I just have to beg here all the time. But Jesus would ask, how are you really? Get the big picture? Verse 20 of Luke 6. Looking at his disciples, he said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. You're actually really blessed if you follow Jesus. Because you have the status of being a child of God, he places you in a certain place, but it's going to be good, it's going to be shaping your life, and you have an eternal destiny in God's kingdom. You're going to have the riches of the world forever and ever. So how are you really? If you look at your status now, you have to say, you're blessed, no matter how poor you are. Next image. Can you guess where this is taken? At the inauguration of the current president. This is the Billionaires Club. I had to write it down here. From left to right, we have Priscilla Chan with Meta, our Facebook founder, Mark Zuckerberg. If you were to cash out his worth, he would have $211 billion. Next one is Lauren Sanchez with an Amazon founder. Anybody? Jeff Bezos. He's worth $239 billion. The next one is the Google CEO. I know I'm not going to say this right, but Sundar Pichai. He's only worth $1 billion. Poor guy. The next one is the Tesla CEO. Anybody? Elon Musk. Probably the wealthiest person in the world, about $433 billion. How are you? Pretty secure. Life is good, especially if we're walking among political circles. Having power and influence, I can direct things. I can do anything I want to do. But how are you really? Luke 6, verse 24. But woe to you who are rich, for you've already received your comfort. What you got now is all you're going to ever get. And you're going to be wanting more and more and more. You can believe these people are never satisfied just sitting back. They're driven, never enough. And just wait till you die or Jesus comes back again. You're going to leave every bit of it behind and take nothing with you. What you got here is all, and into eternity you're just going to have nothing. And if you don't follow Jesus, your inheritance is nothing. You're going to leave it all behind. Okay. Small picture, big picture. Another group that Jesus addresses is the hungry and the crying. I just did two at a time here. Next image, yeah, these are of hungry children, probably in Sudan. And for those, it's believed that there's about 828 million people who don't get enough calories in a day. 2,500 is the bare minimum. It's believed that there's 828 million in the world today that aren't going to get that today. And you would ask them, and you'd get a lethargic response, how are you? Not so good. I have to beg, and I have to look for the next meal, and they're waiting in line for some handouts, and they're scrambling for food wherever they can get it, and if need be, they have to steal for it. And I've talked to camp directors when they have a camp of children from homes that they don't get much food. They have to make a whole bunch more food because these kids just stuff themselves because they never know when they're going to get enough food. And so the sense of hopelessness and the crying that goes with the sadness, they go into survival mode. But how are you, really? 6 verse 21, blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. If you follow Jesus, guaranteed, God's going to work it out so that your stomach will be full. And I know right now it's hard for you to conceive of this, but you will spend, your destiny will be, you're never going to have to worry about food again. You're going to be filled with joy forever and ever. You're not going to have a care in the world. How are you really? You're really blessed. Of course, this correlates with another group of people. The next image of this is a buffet line, and people are having a good time. Reminds me of going to the stock show a couple weeks ago. Boy, that was fun. I just loved the smells. Oh, man, it was good for my lungs. And the hats, I didn't have a Western hat, but just loved to see all those. The rodeo was very enjoyable, but also there was one place where you could get a buffet meal with prime rib. Ooh, was that good. I was full of delight there. And this is a little distracting for me. Going among all the vendors, people holding in their hand their beverage of choice, most common one, you guessed it, Coors. That's a common one here. And you talk to somebody, it's kind of a chubby little guy, and he's with his buddies, and he says, I tell you what, I earned every penny of this. I paid for this, and I'm going to enjoy it. And all his friends just join in laughing. Okay, how are you? Life is good. How are you really? Verse 26. Oh, no, sorry. Verse 25. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. If you don't follow Jesus, you're going to know what really yearning and wanting something and never getting it is like. You're going to spend eternity longing for enough food or water, never getting it. You're going to be spending eternity longing to be close to somebody, to have your buddies, and your buddy is never going to be around you. Jesus called it the weeping and gnashing of teeth. If you don't follow Jesus, that's what is in store for you. Another group of people that Jesus addresses, okay, don't go to the next slide yet, okay? thanks. This is where Jesus talks about those who are hated. For Christians, do you know which country is the most difficult for Christians nowadays? Okay, you want to take a guess? Okay, there's a good North Korea. Most people are agreed North Korea is the worst place, hardest to be a Christian. That's the next slide. Also Sudan, China's getting worse as well. If you're hated, Jesus is saying, if you're hated, if you're ostracized, there's many Christians, especially among Muslim countries. If you become a Christian, you're ostracized from family. I've talked with those that have become Christian that used to be Muslim. And it's a deep, deep grief for them. It's where people will turn their hostility on you. Can't find a job. You have to do this undercover type of work. You're never going to be invited to a party. You're disowned by family. You're not going to be having the inheritance. Your name's going to be run through the mud. Maybe some of you have had this. How are you? It's very, very hard for you. But how are you really? Getting the big picture, we read in verses 22 and 23, blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. That is how their ancestors treated the prophets. You see what Jesus is doing? He's saying now, if you follow Jesus, no matter how much you're reviled by the world, no matter how much people will reject you, know you have somebody that's very, very proud of you. Your status is your child of the King. You are a prince, a princess. And someday, you're going to be joining those in the Faith Hall of Fame. You're going to be sitting on a throne. And here comes Jesus. And he will call the angels and say to them, look this one is mine. And he will give you his accolades and affirmation. You're going to be accepted. That's the blank there, accepted into heaven. You're truly blessed. And then one other group that correlates to this is, if you go to the next slide, I deliberately selected this slide so that nobody would be shown there, but just be a bright light, but I'm thinking it's probably some kind of band concert or something like that. It's where people are screaming your praises. Everybody kind of wants this. Everybody wants to be liked, to be thought well thought of. That people would say good things about you, that would praise you. If you're in this kind of position, you could go to any place in the United States and you show up and you're on the front pages of the newspaper. You hold a concert or you give a speech somewhere and people are applauding, just cheering you. That's how you are. But how are you really? Jesus says in verse 26, woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. How are you really? If you don't follow Jesus, you're going to face the ultimate rejection. You're going to be rejected where in the end, the Son of God will say to you, I never knew you. Away from me. And you're going to be put in the same category as false prophets, as frauds. And in humiliation, you're going to be forever separated from any kind of affirmation ever again. How are you? How are you really? Okay, let's go back to the main image for this morning. That's a nice background. I just love that. I'm going to ask you to get engaged with me right now, okay? Oops, where did I put my pen? Okay. Ah, here it is. I'm going to ask you to help me. I jotted a few things down here in my notes, but I'm going to ask you to describe what's involved in having the good life, all right? That everybody that, if you were to ask people generally in this area, what do you need in order to have the good life? What do you need? And we're going to go beyond just the basics of food, water, clothes, shelter, and so on. All right, I've jotted some things down. I jotted a couple that I think you're not going to get, all right? So why don't you just say, anybody, what do you need for a good life? What's that? Family, very good. Yeah. Laughter, very good. What's that? Hot shower, okay. Yeah, all right. All right, you must have gotten cold this week or something, all right? All right, anybody else? What's that?
Heart.
Okay, art and literature. Oh, yeah, I like that. Okay. Children? Okay, good. Others? Yeah. Yeah, my hearing isn't so good. What's that? Oh, okay. Yeah, very good. All right. Financial security? All right. Nobody mentioned ski slopes, so, all right. Okay, there's kind of describing the good life, at least in this part of Colorado, all right? If you were to ask somebody that has all of this, you were to ask them, how are you? Here's an answer that I heard lately. I'm living the dream. It's just, all right, that's my life. I'm living the dream. But then the question is, how are you really? And Jesus is saying here, it doesn't seem to be connected to all these good life things. How are you really? Big picture? Well, let me ask you, what is the dividing line between the good life and the woeful life, the blessed life and the not so good life? I look at the phrases here in chapter 6, a couple of phrases that Jesus uses, 20, if you go to the next slide. Looking at his disciples, Jesus said, blessed are you because of the Son of Man. Jesus himself is the dividing line. One side you're blessed, the other side you're not. You follow him and you're blessed. You don't follow him. It's life full of woe. Now, this is counterintuitive. That's the way Jesus talks. He says, when you're trying to grab all the good life, you're never going to have enough. In fact, you're going to lose it all in the end. Whereas those who follow him, no matter what you have in life, you're going to be blessed through eternity. Let me illustrate it this way. When I was going to seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, once a week, I and a few others would take the 75-mile trip to Cary, Mississippi. And that's one of the poorest counties in the United States, in the Mississippi Delta there. And it was just primarily all black children that we taught Bible to. And I remember, this is in my memory clearly, these are middle school students that we would teach Bible to. And these students would look at me and look at my hair. That's when I had hair. And all right, they would look at my hair, and they'd be fascinated with my hair, the smooth and straight. And they say, "Can we touch your hair?" They just loved that. all right, but they were poor. Poor as poor could be. They would be embarrassed to have you come to their home, because their home was just a shack. And the future was bleak for them. And I can tell you some very sad stories. But when we were driving up, and then when we were driving back, I and others, a few other students, we were talking about a lot of things. We were talking about, okay, here you have the poor blacks in Mississippi. But we attended their worship services a couple of times. You ever been to a black Baptist church in the South? Whoa, are you ever having a good time there? It's great. A vibrant faith. They love the Lord, and they will tell you with a smile on their face this big. And they would say to you, "Okay, what kind of church do you go to?" And, well, there wasn't a single Christian Reformed church in Mississippi, so what's the closest? Well, we hardly dared to say it. Presbyterians. Do you know what they thought of when you mentioned Presbyterian? Okay, there you go. Frozen chosen. Rich, white landowners. They were Presbyterians. And they sensed they were the frozen chosen. Their religion, you just sensed it was mainly cultural. You wondered, was there anything in their heart? So as we're driving home from Cary, we're just talking about a number of things, and we brought this up one time. If you had the choice of being born into the Mississippi Delta, as poor could be, with virtually no future, but you knew the joy of the Lord, or you could be a rich white landowner, but your relationship with God is pretty cold, where would you prefer to be born? We were of the consensus. We'd be rather be born a poor black in Mississippi to know the joy of the Lord. Okay. We never have to make that decision because we don't choose where we're born. But we face that kind of question every single day. Tomorrow, perhaps today, you're going to have a choice to make. When there's a little tiff at home, what are we going to have for dinner? Well, I'm tired of this. I want to have this. No, why can't we have this? Well, just let them have their way. You've made the choice to follow Jesus. You might have a spouse or a friend that's kind of pushing you to do something immoral that would dishonor Jesus. You make the choice to follow Jesus even though you might be rejected. You have an opportunity to advance your business, but in a way that's kind of shady, and it's going to run over people. Or are you going to follow Jesus and do what is right and proper before him, even though you don't join the billionaires club? Are you going? We can go on and on and on. Every single day we're making choices. Do we follow Jesus or don't we? The call of Jesus here is to get the big picture. How are you? Okay, if you're looking at your life in the real small, it might not look that good. But look at the big picture. If you belong to Jesus, you are truly blessed. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for reminding us that following you, we are truly, truly blessed. We pray, O Lord, that you will give us that joy to follow you in all that we do and give us your deep, everlasting joy. In your name we pray. Amen.